Okay, I'm here at Lord's with England legend Devon Malcolm, taker of 128 Test wickets, including 9 for 57 against South Africa, and a man who has more Test sixes than Donald Bradman.
Hey!
And I'm here at Lord's with Devon and friend of the site, Toby Richardson, and we're having a beer, so it doesn't get much better than this.
Oh, right.
So first of all, Dev, are you still playing?
Yes, I'm still involved in a lot of cricket games at my ripe old age, and I must say this 2020 format helped me to play a lot more cricket. I do play quite a lot of cricket games for the PCA Masters.
Yeah.
We cover quite a lot of fixtures during the summer. I also cover some fixtures, play quite a few games for Lashings, and a lot of charity games. I play for Lord Taverners, I play for Bombers, and a lot of charity games. So these games these days mainly lighthearted.
Yeah.
As long as they're fun charity cricket games. So I do involve in a lot of corporate cricket.
Must be a great laugh playing for Lashings.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the good thing with that is, a lot of the international cricketers you used to play against when you were, representing your country and all that business, you didn't really get in a deep conversation. So you'll see people, you just psych in, you probably don't say very much because, but no, the other side, you're in the same team and you learn so much because you know how the Pakistanis players think, how the Australian players think, what they think about certain players, then whatever. And from that, you learn a lot of things, you see. And, guys like Jason Gillespie, he used to play for Lashings for quite a while. And you have a quite a rich vein of talent and knowledge there. And a lot of these guys go on to be coaches, county coaches, and international coaches, you see. So, guys like Richie Richardson. So you get a wealth of experience. And
yeah, Richie.
Yeah, it's amazing changing room, though. You're sitting on the stories, and we're absolutely fantastic. So, absolutely.
It seems to be quite a big deal nowadays about, whether international teams mix for beers after,
Test with the IPL and everything
Did you in, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, mix for beers?
I mean, I must admit, when we played in Australia, at the end of the Test match, they always, we always vice versa get into each other changing room. But the senior players, the Gowers and Gooch or Gyat, whatever, they're a lot more vocal. But us guys there, as I said, you're there because probably the first or second Test match, you give away nothing. You're just there, you talk about superficial things, not very deep, you're looking at Steve Waugh, and he probably said, okay, you bowl sharp today or whatever, he said, okay, fine, I want to bowl quicker at you next time, so just a bit of psyche, or you probably stay away from cricket, you have a beer, and, just talk about the scenes and all that business. From way back we used to do that, and, then you learn, especially bowlers, you learn a little bit more about players. Guys like when you used to play against Australia, Merv Hughes, he's such a rough, nasty man on the field, but he's one of the nicest bloke you'll ever have a beer with. You'll never have a beer with a nicer bloke off the field at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Especially not so much at the end of the game. He gave not a lot at the end of the game. At the end of the series, if you have a beer with him at the end of the series, after they've won, that is.
Yeah, after they've beat us 4-0, yeah, 5-0.
Yeah. He's okay then, but but the thing about it, even now, I've backed up playing international cricket years and years ago and first class cricket years ago, but when you get in, let's say, probably a Lashings changing room, or you meet up a lot of these guys, you realize if you play the game in good spirit way back then, all these players you play back, you bowl, you play really tough, you play tough cricket, try to get them out, you do whatever you can on the field there, but you play in good spirit then. There, you can have a beer with all these guys now. So it's great to see. And, there's probably not many players out there that I play international cricket with or probably first-class cricket. You probably can count them on my hand in 20 years where I said, look, I wouldn't have a beer with such and such because of such and such. So most guys will get on it. And, it's a great sentiment, really, when you play the game in good spirit.
Now, I've got to ask you, the South Africans, when they made you mad that time and you told them they were going to be history, what was it that wound you up? Can you reveal that?
I missed the first two Test matches of that series. We were 1-0 down. The call came to bring Devon Malcolm back. We wanted to win the final test match at the Oval. But for the first time, you know, I realized once we went 1-0 down, I was getting myself focused. Said, look, there's a good chance I could get called back for this final test match at the Oval. But yeah, I bowled pretty quickly in the first innings, and there was a little incident happened, you know. Bowler ball at John T. Rhodes. It wasn't such a bouncer, but I was bowling pretty sharp in the first innings. I only take 1 wicket in the first innings, mind. And John T. Rhodes just took his eye off one that didn't bounce too much, and he cracked him at the side of the head. He ended up in hospital overnight. You know, lucky enough, he was okay the following day. But pushed his story on, went out to bat. And when I went out to bat, I could hear the guys in the slips garden saying, okay, finally, De Villiers was the bowler. I said, come on, give him a bouncer. He hit one of our guys. So I said, ah! Double bluff here, you know. It's a thing way back then, 20-odd years ago, there was this unwritten rule between fast bowlers. You don't bowl your fellow fast bowler, bouncer first ball.
Fast bowlers union, yeah.
Almost. There was a little union there, you know, not so much now. And I keep saying, once I heard the guy said that in the slips garden, my mind straight away, ah! There's a Yorker coming here, and there's no way you're going to bowl me a bouncer. So I said, okay, then what you need to do, just low back swing, keep your back down, just look for that Yorker. And finally, Villiers set off on his mark, and I'm there. And I didn't even move. It's the most accurate bounce I heard. Clunk. And the non-striking batsman was young Darren Goff. I reckon he made his debut against New Zealand here at Lord's. So probably this was his... That game, I'm probably third or fourth test match. And Darren Goff ran up to me with the biggest smile on his face. He said, Dave, that was a pearler. He said, you haven't moved me. You didn't move me. It hit you right between the eyes. I said, shut to it. I said, I'm bloody dumb. My head was clinking. And I could see the guys inside of my eyes. Saw the guys in the slips card and kind of looking away and whatever. I keep saying, guys, if you really want to know what fastball is about, wait till these guys coming to bat. I said, all you guys are history. And, you know, if ever I wanted to send a message to let these guys knew what I meant, that first ball, I ended up taking 9 wickets, but that first ball I bowled to Kirsten was that telling ball. If ever I wanted to pitch the ball in a spot, the ball pitched exactly where I wanted to pitch. The ball bounced the right amount of pace, from the right length, right amount of pace. Kirsten just managed to get his head out of the way, slop into Steve Rose's gloves, and the crowd went up.
Yeah.
And I was bowling from the pavilion, and that's where I opened the bowling from. And the crowd went up. And I could see all the, you know, South African boys just ran to the door to have a look what the crowd was shouting about, and I said, pad up, guys. You guys were out here in a hurry. You know, the first time I took probably three wickets my first spell, and you know, it just happened every spell I came on to bowl for Arthurs, I just keep taking wickets, and the crowd just went crazy. And you know, I heard athletes and whatever talking about the zone, but if there was a zone, or if there is a zone, I was there that day. It was just amazing. I felt, you know, if one of those games where you force the opposition to follow on, I could do the same thing again. I was just somewhere else. I was just so focused. All I could see running into ball was the batsman at the other end. Amazing.
Was it after Kirsten's wicket you thought, this is my day?
After the first ball, I said, yeah, it's my day. And, you know, sometimes you're running and everything was just free. I was following through nicely. And the crowd, you know, were just amazing. They just got me there.
So I think as a supporter, there's nothing better than seeing a fast bowler that you really support and you want to do well.
Man, the crowd just got me to the wicket. I mean, Jesus. But I mean, you know, especially at the end of the over, walking back to my mark and the crowd was going off. And it was just, you know, that's what you're trying to do. When you get out there representing the country playing cricket, you try to play for the spectators. But, you know, when it happened like that, that's what I tried to do every time, you know. And, you know, it was one of those things walking off the field. And like I said, when I took those 9 wickets, my captain, Michael Atherton, was saying to me, Dave, he said, probably as long as I live or as long as I play cricket, I probably will never play in a game where one person dominates a game as much as that. And I said, I said, Skipper, I tell you what, this is what I try to do for you every time, mate. I'm probably all rubbish at times, but it just happened this time. I said, look, tell you what, you know, This probably won't be a thing to me unless we get out and win this game and draw the series, because you know, a lot of people talk about the 9 for 57 against South Africa. That's not my best bowling analysis for England, you know. My best bowling analysis for England probably was my third test match or fourth test match in Trinidad. Ah. I actually took 11-4 in that game, 11 wickets in that game. But that's the game that Gucci broke his hand and we ended up drawing. We should have beat West Indies. Would have been 2-0 up. That's in 1990.
I remember that in Trinidad. Was that Alex Stewart's first series?
Yeah, Alex Stewart's first series, that's right. He played there as well. But I ended up with 10 wickets in this game. But 9.57 is my best innings analysis, but not game analysis. Yeah.
Which game do you think you bowled better in?
Probably the quickest I bowled quicker in Perth. I had so many catches dropped, and I bowled quicker also at the Oval against Australia. That possibly was the series before.
Okay.
At the Oval, I bowled a spell one, especially a little late spell in the afternoon against Slater, and I thought Slater was very good. He was so quick, and I promise you.
He's a good player.
He said, "It's a good player," and the ball was just zipping through. And I said, "Bob, I feel good." I reckon I bowled quicker. But you know, when everything happened, all the catches were taken.
Was there a particular captain, England captain, you enjoyed playing for? Who would you say was the best captain that you played under, or the one that got the most out of you?
I mean, what I would say, you look back. I reckon, you know, I played county cricket for years, but I would say I began to think like a professional under Graham Gooch, and I would say this is mainly because of his regime before he took us to the West Indies. Everything started to turn professional then, where we had training camps and all that business. I felt the program he and Mickey Stewart put on to get the players fit, mentally fit, physically fit, do a lot of training, and before I went to the Caribbean, although the Caribbean was mighty, got Richards and all those guys, and Marshall, Ambrose Walsh, we thought we were prepared a lot better than the West Indies probably were. And from that point of view, playing under Graham Gooch, because he lead by example, and as a young player coming through, you know, you wanted to work hard, because every minute you look at the skipper finished playing, at the end of the day he's gone running, and he keeps saying, "Well, I better go take a half a dozen laps here." We're in the Caribbean on tour, whatever, it rains and we're not playing, he'll be looking some dry place away for the guys running, and I keep saying. And doing that made me a lot fitter, a lot mentally stronger, and all that business. So under Graham Gooch, leading from example, was fantastic. But you know, I thought others were going to be one of the we're going to make a very good captain for England as well. But, you know, things were chopping and changing.
It's quite a turbulent period
because even the captain didn't know to a certain extent if they were in or out at a certain time. So us guys, you know, in for one game, out for another.
Yeah.
And we were just, you know, there were no real consistency about selection or anything like that. So that was very off-putting.
What do you think was the best England attack you've been part of? I mean, when we were talking earlier, you mentioned that you enjoyed bowling with Angus Fraser because it was so accurate.
Yeah, I mean, earlier on, because, you know, I was, before I went to the Caribbean in 1990, I only played one test match against Australia in my debut. I don't want to tell you the figures about that at Trent Bridge. That's my only test match. And as I said, the amount of training Mickey Stewart and Graham Gooch put these various camps took us to the Caribbean. So bowling with Angus on my first trip was amazing, because I was given my freedom by Mickey, and Graham Gooch said, "Look, you're the strike bowler, you got the lead." We had Angus Fraser at the other end, we had David Capel, we had Ricky Elcock was on the trip as well, but he got injured. Mm-hmm. And he come back. So we, myself and Ricky, were going to be the spearhead, but Ricky got injured, he didn't play. So we had a good backup in Gladstone Small, David Capel, and Angus Fraser, the main one there, you see.
Yeah.
But bowling against Angus was absolutely fantastic. I know he kept going, bowling on all six cylinders, you know, going at four and over, but I'll be striking Angus at the other end, going for one or two maximum, and also taking wickets as well, you see.
Excellent. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap this up, unfortunately.
I keep going on. Ask your questions quickly.
I could talk to you for ages, but we're getting up to our 15 minutes. So I'm going to think I'm going to have to.
I'm talking story. I'm telling stories.
No, it's been brilliant. It's been brilliant to hear. But Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Devon. Thanks very much. And you gave us some coaching tips earlier as well, which I'll mention, okay. mention on the blog, and how you made a fool of me when I was batting. But I'll mention that as well. But it's been a privilege. Thanks very much.
Let's hope you guys enjoyed it, and hope I pass a little bit of things on there, and let's hope this worked well for the PCA.
Yeah, definitely. Cheers.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.